Okay. It's Monday, July 6, 2026. I'd like to call the regular Petersburg Borough Assembly meeting to order. And with that, would the clerk please call the roll?
Mayor Lynn?
Yeah, here.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Here.
Member Martin?
Here.
Member Mucci?
Here.
Member Newman?
Here.
Member Schwartz?
Excused.
Member Valentine?
Excused. So that with that, we have five members present. We have two on Zoom and three on the DOS here. And with that, I'll move on to the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
That I have one set of minutes, the regular assembly meeting minutes of June 15th, 26. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved by Member Stanton Gregor, seconded by Member Newman. Any changes? Hearing none, would the clerk please call the roll on the approval of the minutes?
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Member Newman?
Yes.
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes. With that, it approved 5-0 on it. I need a motion to approve the meeting agenda as presented.
I would move to move forward with the meeting agenda as presented.
Second.
Been moved by Member Stanton Gregor, seconded by Member Newman. Are there any amendments to that agenda? Hearing none, would the clerk please call the roll on the agenda as it's presented?
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Member Newman?
Yes.
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes. And that's approved 5-0. Moving on here to public hearings tonight, we have several public hearings. First public hearing tonight is on Ordinance 2026-13. An ordinance authorizing the borough to issue electrical utility revenue bonds in the aggregate principal amount of not to exceed $3,315,000 to finance the Scalbay standby generator project and directing that this matter be submitted to the qualified voters for consideration at the next regular election to be held on October 6, 2026. Is there anybody that would like to talk to this ordinance? Okay, is there anybody on Zoom?
There's no one.
Okay, with that, I'll close that.
Hang on one moment. I have someone who just raised their hand on Zoom and their name is iPhone. So I'm going to allow them to talk, whoever you are, iPhone.
Hi, Becky, this is Dana Tinas and I just can hardly figure out this Zoom approach. I want to speak on the next ordinance, not this one. I'm sorry. I'll get off.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Since there's nobody, I'll close that hearing on that in Ordinance 2026-13. And I'll move on to Ordinance 2026-14A. An ordinance amending Title 19 zoning of the Petersburg Municipal Code to regulate wireless communication facilities and other towers and transmitters. Any public testimony regarding Ordinance 2026-14A should be given during this public hearing. A copy of Ordinance 2026-14A may be found under Agenda Item 14B. Is there anybody that would like to talk to Ordinance 2026-14A? Please come forward, state your name and who you represent, and you have 5 minutes.
This is Dana Tinas. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Go ahead, Dana.
All right. Yeah, this is Dana Tinas speaking on my own behalf concerning proposed Ordinance 14A to regulate wireless communication facilities. I just spent a week down in Prince of Wales Island. Now, there's a place that could really use some better connectivity. But here in Petersburg, we've got cell providers stepping on each other. I read the letters that were sent to the Borough Assembly by the Alaska Wireless Network and Tidal Network. I couldn't help but notice that there was an open threat from Alaska Wireless Network of litigation against the borough should the assembly dare to pass this ordinance unchanged. Tidal Network is worried that locals have too much say, that requiring applicants to prove that alternative sites are unsuitable may improperly substitute local preferences for technical design decisions. That rubs me the wrong way when anyone takes umbrage against locals who wish to make decisions about their own town. In the letters, there were references to the law and appeals to follow FCC legal guidelines. However, the FCC itself has ignored a legal court order for years to review and update their health and safety standards in this field. The standards have not been updated since 1996. What does this tell you? Obviously, their concerns are for the advancement of these telecommunications companies, not the health of Americans. The Telecommunications Act is a very bad law that harms American cities and citizens. Why should we roll over for it? I say, let's not worry too much about their requirements until the FCC itself obeys the law. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else that would like to talk to this ordinance? Please come forward, state your name and who you represent.
Good evening, my name is John Mergus. Thank you for giving me a chance to speak. With the sale of the property to Tidal Network, the city, the borough has set a precedent of for future sales to other telecommunications companies for towers. And the cost for them to put up a tower here in Petersburg is really low, and there's no incentive to rent from other existing towers. So I have concerns that there'll be other demands for that similar property along Haugen and maybe other areas right in the city. I don't know, I'm not smart enough to come up with any recommended changes to make, but I think you should have some type of mechanism, or at least start thinking of a mechanism to limit the number of towers that are coming into the community. Perhaps something like the state limits liquor licenses, or pot shops, or things like that. That's more based on the number of towers per capita than just strictly the zoning situation. And I just think it could be helpful for future quality of life issues within the city here. There are so few restrictions that we have on the towers, and the price of property is so low that it could be a little more attractive than we would like, and just as the community might be a tower farm for all the telecommunications companies. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else that would like to talk to this ordinance?
Hi, Micah Klein speaking on behalf of myself. All of these amendments don't really seem to be serving all of the taxpayers and community members and your constituents that have put in a lot of personal time researching and putting input and showing up at Planning and Zoning Commission meetings and these assembly meetings. I feel like all the amendments have become workarounds for Tidal Network. And there have been lots of alternative sites within their parameters that have been given. And another thing I noticed in number 6 here with this amendment, I'm not exactly sure what it means, but it says eliminates borough's authority to direct changes. The director will instead provide technical review information to the applicant to design and implement changes. Does that mean cutting out somebody having to follow a process of going to planning and zoning like other people do, or how like the process is now?
I'll bring that up when we get into that issue. Okay. I won't answer that right now.
Okay, thank you. I just was looking for a little bit of clarification, but I just have some concerns as someone that has put a lot of time and energy and thought. I'm a somewhat younger person in this community, wanting to raise a big family here and stay here for a long time. And this is something that is will impact a lot of my family's decisions on, you know, where we live and do business in the community. And I think that a lot of these amendments serve these companies and that are not serving the community members that have valid concerns and have put forward ideas and recommendations and participated in this process. So I really hope that you guys will rethink this and listen to the people that are here tonight. I don't think these amendments are beneficial to the community.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else that would like to talk to Ordinance 2026-14A? Please come forward and state your name and who you represent.
My name is Luke Short. I'm a private citizen. As a preface, I'd like to say that after I finished my Army stint, 1968 to 1970, I returned to Southeast Alaska. I've been here about 56 years. I've raised 4 kids here. 2 of the 4 still live here, and 4 of my 6 grandchildren are here. Their health is important to me. Their safety is important to me. As I understand it, you all were elected to your positions to represent us, to do what is in our best interests, to essentially protect us. To that end, I expect that you have basic equipment to determine, for example, the quality of the tap water that is delivered to our homes, to ensure it is potable and not harboring pathogens that could destroy our health. May I inquire whether you also possess the tools to measure the amount and intensity of electromagnetic forces transmitted by 5G, soon to be 6G cell phone towers, and if these readings are made and recorded, whether they reach or exceed the levels that are deemed dangerous or excessive by independent researchers. Do you have those tools?
Not that I know of.
If these tests or observations have not been made, if you do not even have the equipment to ascertain these important measurements, then I would have to state that you, as a whole, are remiss in your duties and obligations, and that a moratorium should be imposed while these important tasks are addressed and facts established. Once such studies are made, measuring intensity at different distances, and the results are made public, more meetings would be the correct pathway to follow.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else that would like to talk to Ordinance 2026-14A?
Hello, Tom Kowalski. And I want to follow up with Luke here and also ask for a moratorium on any development in ordinance language and or tower development. I think this is a pretty deep subject that is going to require even more knowledge than what we all know now. It takes a lot of time to get this under our skin here to really get to the meat of things and to be able to pinpoint some of the issues. It's going to take time. One of those issues is we need to figure out exactly what the coverage gap is, and we can require that these telecom companies provide that to us. And there's a amount of time that'll take. And And if you're questioning our authority to do that, you can check out the Ninth District precedent, and there's precedent there for that. Also, the FCC put some language in the Telecommunications Act that does provide local communities the ability to look into data gaps. And so, and the other thing is that these setback requirements are very important here in Petersburg. And one of those rationales being that there's safety issues, including ice buildup. We had a lot of ice this year, and that's something that needs to be considered with setbacks. And also, you know, it's not the borough's responsibility to share the burden of a business's bottom line. So if there's an alternative site that they might have to build a little road on, well, they need to share the responsibility of putting in roads or power, just like anybody else here that has property somewhere where there's no road or power. We all have to do that. So we're not treating them any differently than we would anybody else trying to build on a new site. So the sites that are in progress now, the one that is right next to the fire hall, also has its issues with the fire hall being the only fire hall we have. There's fire potential. We have dry seasons. There's subterranean fires that occur, and somebody can start one of those just flicking a cigarette out their window. There's fireworks. We have fireworks all the time. You know, there's it's right by a highway. Automobiles can get out of control and hit the tower. And there's a parking lot right next to where the tower is going to be. And if you spend any time in the lower 48, you'd come across a story or two where somebody put it in drive instead of reverse and ran right into a 7-Eleven or something. That's a possibility. And not only that, but we have an airport nearby, and a lot of small fixed-wing aircraft on occasion, multiple at the same time, will fly, come in, go out, fly around each other. There's already a tower on Mill Road that they have to avoid, and now there might be one by the fire hall, and maybe even another one over there by Skylark. So, you know, these towers pose a risk, and risking damage to our fire hall, our only fire hall, is something to be seriously considered. And there are places for that tower right behind the fire hall. Yes, they'll have to build a little road, but that's the cost of doing business here in Petersburg. And that is definitely a better situation than risking our fire hall. Not to mention that these particular towers that Tile Network's putting up has 300 gallons of diesel fuel sitting underneath it. So, you know, that's an added risk. And that's pretty much what I want to say about that, except for the setbacks, sensitive areas. I believe that hospitals where patients are hard to move, and also living, assisted living facilities, the fire hall, places like that, very important infrastructure should be protected even more than just the average structure, building, or whatever. So anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else that would like to talk to this ordinance? Okay, please come forward, state your name and who you represent.
Hi, Becky Knight here. I request that you do not make concessions to industry that will result in a weak wireless ordinance, overly permissive to industry, and largely unresponsive to Puro residents' concerns. During the June 15th assembly meeting, several amendments were made to the first reading of the new WCF ordinance. All were approved, most with little to no discussion. The ordinance was reported by KFSK this morning as lightly revised. However, they are anything but. Repeated testimony has cited numerous communities that have been successful in their right to maintain local control. There's no evidence that this ever, information has ever been considered by this body. Because the public had no opportunity to weigh in on those amendments, please consider three of them. Please reconsider three of them during this second reading as follows. Number one, on June 1, a public request was made to the Assembly to insert language in the proposed ordinance which addressed the topic of oversight. The rationale was that the borough should retain local control because the FCC has acted in a lawless manner due to its failure to comply with the 2021 court order to review and update its standards. Instead, during the subsequent meeting on June 15th, a first reading amendment was approved for the new ordinance with no discussion, identifying the FCC as the entity to determine a carrier's compliance with FCC regs, not the borough. Many other communities have been proactive in protecting its citizens in this and other realms by adopting local control ordinance language. Abdication of local oversight to the FCC is akin to allowing a fox to guard the hen house. Also, that the FCC will simply rubber stamp compliance on behalf of their billionaire overlords is likely. Again, and with minimal discussion, an amendment to the proposed ordinance was approved to alter sensitive areas by striking assisted living facilities, children's nursery, and hospitals, and adding licensed to child care facilities from that section to make it consistent with earlier ordinance language in the new ordinance version. The earlier section only identified two sensitive areas, an existing school or licensed child care facility. In fact, to maintain consistency, the sensitive areas language should include all five sensitive areas throughout the ordinance. I later learned that from the borough staff that the earlier language, which identified only two sensitive areas in the sensitive area setback section, schools and licensed child care facilities, was a policy decision. Under what deliberative public status was that policy decided upon? On what basis does one sensitive area upstage the other? Given the overwhelming public concern for the sensitivity of all five areas, the exclusion of all three of them was arbitrary and has no apparent basis other than in-house decision-making. While I maintain that all residents of Petersburg are sensitive, hospital patients and residents who reside in assisted living facilities are also quite sensitive. The same for non-commercial children's nursery, where newborn infants and toddlers not enrolled in a licensed child care facility reside 24 hours a day, and whose parents may lack sufficient funds to cover enrollment in a licensed facility, if they can even find one. Deletion of a children's nursery creates two classes of children. Number three, most importantly, I request that you reconsider the approval to reduce sensitive area setbacks from 1,500 feet to 500 feet. It was an arbitrary decision. First, GCI's claim that the tower closes a significant gap needs to be approved under Ninth Circuit precedent, and I emphasize that. Second, when asked, the amendment sponsor was unable to provide a rationale for a reduced setback. Another member came to the rescue and mentioned that during a conversation with borough staff that additional land to locate a WCF would result in a 500-foot setback. It was also asserted that failure to appease industry with reduced setback distances would cause further assemblies to be in a hard position, because an all but certain implementation of the waiver provision would result. Isn't the waiver provision intended to be a high bar to navigate, not an automatic get out of jail free easy out to accomplish the initial intention? Regardless, if the goal was to appease the tech industry, it remains unclear if even the 500 feet would be sufficient for industry, as indicated in their recent correspondence. Also, how were multiple nationwide communities enacting far more protective setbacks than this ordinance proposes, yet our borough finds it near impossible? Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else that would like to talk to Ordinance 2026-14A? Please come forward, state your name and who you represent.
Hi, I'm Judy Omer, speaking for myself. Seems like we're the ones that keep coming back, and like since October. Much has been learned, though, about the dangers and the drawbacks since the already existing towers in our town were erected And just because those towers have been close to the schools and a child care centers, assisted living facility, doesn't set a precedent for continuing to do the same. Three wrongs don't make a right. You know, since October that I mentioned in 2025, in every public meeting, testimony has been about the placement of proposed telecom towers. It's not been about no towers. The 150-foot, or the the 1,500-foot setback required in a lot of the other communities is neither a random number nor a design to deny tower construction. You know, it's a safety issue. And in all that time, the intent and the hope has been to work with the assembly. And I know we've been here on a regular basis, and I don't even know if you can hear us now, because the concerns that we've had have never shown up in the newspaper or on the radio. We've just been kind of that obnoxious group that keeps showing up. But what we care about is what's best for Petersburg, its people, and the future of this community. I wrote a report that should be in your communications, and I have more that I'll put in for next meeting's agenda. You know, and to go in the Wayback Machine, and I've been doing that lately as I look around Petersburg, the town I was raised in, the town I love, and I go back to 1976, 1977, 1978. And that's when I was teaching fifth grade to the people who are basically now grandparents themselves, some of which sit on the assembly. And it's also a time when they were expanding the road along Wrangell Narrows that's now called North Nordic. There used to be warehouses there. Fishermen lived across the street. The warehouse was on the water side. And so in front of the fifth grade class, I said, stand up, get your coats, and follow me. And we used to be able to do that. I don't think you can today. You need all the permission slips and everything. And I walked down the lines of the desks like that, and it was almost like the bunny hop that you see in the dances of the 50s or whatever. And we were quiet, they knew to do that, and we walked out the door, and we walked down, because I said, this street is never gonna look the same again. They're taking down the warehouses, so I wanna have you have a chance to really appreciate what we have in Petersburg and the way of life here. When we got back to the classroom, they all took another half an hour and wrote about what their experience was, that we shared it with each other. So it was a common experience and yet different for everyone. And I'm having that feeling this week about the towers. You drive around and you can see trees and you can see, you know, our homes and you can see the, and you don't have to look at a tower everywhere you go. But I'm starting to get the sense that after today and the amendments that are going in and things, we are open season for the telecom companies. We are easy pickings. And we don't have the land to give to that. They don't want to work with the state. They don't want to work with mental health. They don't want to work with the federal government and the Forest Service and everything else on any other lands. They want to be right in here on borough land with private property is the easiest deal. And that's what we're seeing here. That property, like across on Haugen at the fire hall, my brother was able to buy two lots on the other side of the street and is putting duplexes up there, places for four families. And yet with the fire hall situation, borough land, we're gonna end up with a tower. And it just seems that we have very little private land and very little borough land for housing. And that's a critical issue here. So it starts touching other parts of life. So I really hope that you consider very much the open season. Yeah, I see it. Open season on that, because there's future expansion mentioned in the telecom company's letters here threatening to sue if you don't do what they want you to do. Tidal Network and GCI are not done with us. They've talked about an expanded program. And now here's AT&T involved. So I feel like we're losing our town. And it's bigger than warehouses. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. You're welcome. Is there anybody else that would like to talk to Ordinance 2026-14A? Is there anybody on Zoom?
No, there's no one.
Okay.
Hi, my name is David Beebe. I'm speaking for myself. I too would like to see a moratorium on this. To begin with, the first whereas of this ordinance is legalizing a logical fallacy. Logical fallacies often sound convincing, making them particularly deceptive. Whereas the Federal Telecommunications Act of 1996, in fact, explicitly does not preserve the authority of local governments to regulate the placement, construction, and modification of personal wireless service facilities to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the community. How do we know this to be a logical fallacy? Because Section 704, Article 2, Paragraph C is appropriately titled Exceptions. According to this, I quote, Section 704A of the 1996 Act expressly preempts state and local government regulation of the placement, construction, and modification of personal wireless service facilities on the basis of the environmental effects of radio frequency emissions. I pause now for the classic catch-22 as a consequence of well-documented FCC regulatory capture. Quote, to the extent that such facilities comply with FCC regulations concerning such emissions, the catch-22 has a solution which involves two simple questions. Does the FCC remain in a perpetual state of regulatory capture? Why, yes. How do we know? Because the purpose of a system is what it does, not what the first whereas claims it is to be doing. This brings up the logical legal question then, cui bono? Latin, to whose benefit does the exception provide? Well, first, the financial benefit is to all of the elected representatives of the people in Congress. Those who rely upon corporate donations to bolster their political campaign war chests in order to maintain their privileged status to self-enrich by way of insider trading, for example. And second, the far more vast financial benefit of environmental deregulation further inflates the bottom lines of telecom, tech bro, multi-billionaires at the expense of public health and safety. They understood deregulation provides an exponential increase in profiteering at the consequence of public health, safety, and environmental integrity. Is the FCC non-compliant with a court order to update EMA safety standards? Of course. I now quote AI. In fact, the FCC is operating outside the bounds of lawful administrative procedure. The FCC's failure to comply with a court order creates a situation where its entire regulatory framework, including Section 704, is built on a foundation of non-compliance. The Act relies on the premise that the FCC is actively and lawfully regulating those emissions to protect public health. Consequently, the legal basis for preempting local control becomes fundamentally compromised. The borough encountered a fork in the road far before the public weighed in. That choice would surrender borough sovereignty by not taking the matter to court. That would be protecting the public trust and best interests of the taxpaying borough residents. Instead, the borough clearly represents the best interests of the telecom, tech bro, multi-billionaires, bottom line, and to join the ranks of their trickle-down proxies. How dare you?
Thank you for your testimony. Anybody else like to talk to this ordinance?
My name is Kirsten Dupree, and I'm speaking for myself. One of the things right here, Petersburg recognizes the increasing demand of wireless services and the necessity of high-quality telecommunications infrastructure for public safety, education, economic development. I don't think there's anywhere in the community
in this the town area where I go and I don't have service. And I don't know about the rest of you. I think we have service pretty much everywhere. I don't think that's an issue. I'm totally opposed to the fact that the idea is that FCC can say you can't mention health. You can't mention what this is going to do to you. It's going to do to your family, your friends. We all remember when you could smoke anywhere. You could smoke on the airplane. You could smoke in the restaurant. You could smoke in the bar. You could smoke everywhere. It didn't matter. And then they decided that that wasn't really good, and cigarettes weren't good for you. And they finally accepted the fact that cigarettes weren't good for you. And then they decided that secondhand smoke was not good for you either. Now you can't smoke anywhere except at home. And most people that I know of, because I'm not a smoker and I've never lived with a smoker, people who smoke, smoke outside other people's homes because of the hazards. I look at this as the same way. You're not supposed to mention that radiation is harmful and that it's getting into our children, it's getting into old people, but mainly children. This is the worst part, is that kids are going to be affected by this. And it looks to me like nobody in the borough or you guys even care about the health and well-being of the community, because FCC says, no, you can't mention health. And that's not right. That should set a precedent. That should be top, that health is most important, not these communication companies. We already have coverage. If you go out in the outlying areas, you don't have coverage. Put your towers out somewhere where they will be useful to people. We don't need them right here in town. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Anybody else would like to talk to Ordinance 2026-14A? Please come forward, state your name and who you represent.
Hello, I'm Nicole McMurrin. Thanks for enduring and keeping on with this. Folks involved and all from all perspectives here. I've been bopping in and out of this issue since it came around, and I recognize that it's somewhat convoluted, the ordinance along with the title piece and a bit of a spider web, and the lines do cross. So I think we notice that in what we're hearing from folks' testimony too, you know, is how this ordinance would directly impact the actions of title in particular. There are a couple of things in the proposed ordinance that I find kind of wishy-washy, and I'm curious about how they might actually be interpreted when push does come to shove, like it is. One is, I could well be wrong on this, I'm not sure, is there such a thing as a qualified radio frequency engineer? Maybe there is.
There is.
There is, great. There is. An item, following it back, 1958.050, development standards for WCFs, item K, visual impacts. WCF shall be configured and located in a manner that shall minimize adverse visual impacts on the landscape and adjacent properties, including through use of alternative tower structure or other stealth technologies. You'd have to be a pretty stealth technology to disguise a cell tower. I'm kind of confused as to how that particular portion of the ordinance might be interpreted. I think they're kind of ugly, pretty much wherever you put them. So I'm not really sure how that might be interpreted. And the height restrictions overall, I found confusing, particularly if you're looking at in the public use area conditional use permit. I'm not sure where exactly it falls back to, if it comes back into then commercial and how you address this, but that all seems kind of wonky donkey. And I would agree, I'm curious where the 500 feet setback comes from for sensitive area. Somebody brought up, you know, 500 feet from the fire hall, particularly if there's diesel fuel at the base of a cell tower, is not safety first. Maybe that's not such a groovy thing. 500 feet is not a very long distance, visually, aesthetically, safety-wise, or other. And it seems as if other communities have been successful in offering greater setbacks. One thing that I particularly dislike about this whole discussion is just the way that it seems to have departed so rapidly from discussion into loggerheads. And it seems like if you're not on one side, you're on the other. And I just kind of watch the way people even look at each other as we kind of hear each other's viewpoints and have discussion with one another. And like, these settings are so difficult because you can't really have discussion, you know? It's just you hear me. And I encourage us to really think about our community members first and foremost before trying to cover ourselves as a borough, and see how we really, who we are serving, first and foremost. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. And there's several of your questions that we'll try to put some more meat behind, so to speak, as we go along. Is there anybody else that would like to talk to the ordinance, this ordinance? Okay.
There's no one online.
All right. Then I'm going to close the this public hearing, and I'm going to move on. There are no bid awards tonight.